Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
That's how we own it.
What's going on, family? It's your girl, Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your host of Street Politicians, the place where the streets and politics meet. It is moving on in 2023. It's almost the end of the month.
Almost. One month in. Hope you done did something different. Changed your mindset. Changed the way you eat. Me, I've been working out. My body's sore. My boy G over at Survive 41. Tearing me up, man. But I need it. It's breaking down. Destroyed and rebuild, man. So. Go over there, get you some classes. They do boxing. They do, you know, strength exercises, car, everything you need is over there.
That's my 2023 workout plan, boxing. They say it can work out all of your body. They say it's going to work out my legs. That's what I really need. My physical area that needs work at this point, you know, of course, stomach is always an issue, especially as you get to be in your 40s. I know for women, I'm sure for men as well, but the stomach part is always an issue. But I kind of have that under control slightly. Where I have issues is that after a while, when you gain weight, which I have, it turns into like cottage cheese. Like it doesn't look smooth and like the skin stretched out properly on your, you know, lower extremities. So that's what I want to work on. And they tell me that boxing is going to help with my heart rate, my arms, my strength, and then, of course, you know, helping me with my legs. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be trying to do something other than relaxing and watching my Netflix shows when I'm on, I don't know, when I'm not working, which is not often, but still, you know, I like white people TV. I'm not going to lie. I have to admit this to myself because I was looking at Netflix the other day and I was looking at looking for a good black show, you know, some kind of a show, some suspense. And when I started doing my research, like, you know, how I was choosing different shows. It said on the top in the percentile area, which is pretty much identifying, is tracking how much TV you watch and then like what are the shows that you're attracted to. And the percentage for all the black shows was like 40%, 30%, 60% was the highest. But the white TV was all like 98%, 99%, because I like the suspense of, you know, the way they have so much privilege, the way they get in trouble, the way that white people do on TV. Like we as black people could never. And when we're watching black people and we see our friend Emil was talking about this the other day, too, how when we're watching black people on TV and they do something completely outlandish, we like, man, I ain't watching this show. This is stupid. We know this. And that's part of the reason why sometimes I struggle with all of 50 Cent's shows, right? Because I'll just be watching it and it's good. I'm not saying it's not, but I'll be like, man, that's not going to happen in the real world. But the stuff that white people be getting away with, they do that. They literally be doing some of this stuff.
So basically you watch shows based on white privilege.
I like the white privilege shows. I ain't gonna lie. I'm sorry.
Lord have mercy. This is the activist talking about they like the white privilege shows. Lord, we ain't
I
gone.
Do. And then when I watch black TV, I like documentaries. I like, you know, movies about things that actually happened.
But the reality is power and all that, like shit like that happened. They based off real stories.
Come on, some of that stuff is outlandish. That some of the stuff they get away with, the way they be killing and
what they got away with is niggas, it's documented that in the 80s, niggas was killing like that. They had bodies like that. It's niggas, if you look at their cases, they got cases for catching these bodies. This shit ain't all the way made up. It's right now, because we looking at technology. We looking at, you know, the way every state is basically a police state where it's cameras everywhere. But back then, when they was outside like that and they was catching these bodies, you know, it wasn't the law enforcement wasn't even trying to stop them at that point.
People in college, you a college student. But then you go kill people on the lunch break and go back or deal.
It's happening.
It's heavy for me. But I'm not knocking it because I've watched it, of course. I'm not really up on BMF, but I've watched all the other shows. I love it. I've watched Raising Kanan. So I'm not trying to say that I don't like it. I'm just saying that when I'm watching it, I start feeling like this right here. It's impossible. When I watch the white people doing it, I'm like, yep, that sounds like something you could get away with. That cops pull you over, you got two bodies in the trunk, somebody laying down in the back seat, the person in the back seat, they say, oh, they sleeping. And the cops never say, well, wake them up. They don't do that for black people. But anyway, that's what I was doing during the holidays, was catching up on a bunch of TV shows. And I'm still kind of into it. Now I'm watching Breaking Bad, which is pretty good. So let me see, what are the news stories we're going to talk about today? There's a lot of things happening. You know what? I tell you one thing that no one else, you may not care about this, but I do. Cause I was trying to see what was going to happen with Alec Baldwin, right? Like he killed the lady on the set. And I'm sorry. I know for sure, or at least I believe strongly, that if a black actor was on a set and killed a woman or any person with a gun that is actually supposed to, wasn't it supposed to have blanks in it in the first place? Like it's not even supposed to have real like things that could actually kill you, right? I'm pretty sure that I read that a long time ago. It's been a while. But I think they would take you out in handcuffs. And that you would have a charge.
I mean, I don't know, because I'm just looking at the workplace. I'm looking at, do they have intent? Do they have malicious intent? You know, I'm looking at the totality of it. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know if he's the person that's completely responsible for him having a gun.
I think the gun was on the set to be a part of the set. And it was an armorer, which is like in the Black church, we call him the armor bearer, who was supposed to be holding the gun. And then I guess at the point that he was using it, Alec Baldwin, instead of it having whatever it is that you can shoot it and it won't harm anybody, it actually had bullets in it. And this woman was killed. Now, the reason why I brought it up is because now he's been charged with involuntary manslaughter. Him and the armorer has been charged. So that tells me somebody knows that what they were doing, they wasn't supposed to happen. But, and I was just wondering, and I'm sure involuntary manslaughter is something where they probably won't get a lot of time or anything like that, right?
More than likely they won't. If it's involuntary, it means that it wasn't done purpose. It's basically just saying that you killed someone by accident. So,
but manslaughter is by accident.
Yeah, man. Anything involuntary just means that it wasn't done purposely, and it probably wasn't with that. I want to look up to be specific, but I'm more, you know, almost sure.
Involuntary means it was an accident, but someone died. So anyway, they did charge him and the armorer with involuntary manslaughter. So for anybody that's wondering, how did Alec Baldwin just shoot and kill somebody and didn't get away with it? They have been charged. How that's going to work out in terms of jail time,
Involuntary right now.
Yeah, I don't think they'll get any jail time, but I definitely was like, huh? When I saw him in the news, I was like, oh, okay, there's follow-up. Because in my mind, I was like, yep, they just going to wipe it under the rug, swipe it under. What did it say?
It's a misdemeanor. Yep. It's defined as unintentional killing that results either from reckless or criminal negligence.
Reckless.
Or the commission of a low-level criminal act, such as a misdemeanor. Involuntary manslaughter is distinguished from others of homicide because it does not require deliberation or premeditation or even intent. Since these mental states are not required, involuntary manslaughter is the lowest category of homicide.
Right. So listen. I don't think he meant to shoot the woman. And you know, you don't seem to think that it's a sure thing that if someone of color, I mean Latino, also somebody who was not filthy rich like Alec Baldwin shot somebody, I just don't know how easy it would be for it to just be so quiet. I think it would be something that was on the news being dragged out forever and ever, and that the individual who committed the crime, quote unquote, would be somebody who, or they would have other opportunities that they lose because of it. Now, I can't say that didn't happen to him. I'm just saying, I feel like it would have been different, but we do now know that both people are going to be charged at least. So that's a little update on something probably nobody else cares about with me, but you know, I just told you I've been tracking white people's stuff.
So, you definitely do. You be on white people's stuff.
And now in other white people news, and this is something that, you know, is really, really serious. Actually, let me tell you why this is serious, right? First, Governor DeSantis, which is the governor in Florida, he is definitely, unless there's something in his background, some blackface or, you know, and even that, I don't know.
They don't care.
It has to be something in his background that
he would kill somebody if he didn't kill nobody.
No, I mean, there's some other things that he that could be in his background,
like what?
That would invigorate. You're right, because if he raped a woman,
you've seen that. Well, you've seen the Supreme Court, they give a fuck about that.
But becoming president is a little different. But then Donald Trump said grab him by the pussy. So
exactly. So that's what I'm saying.
Not many things. I mean, Joe Biden, it's a lot. Listen, these guys got a lot of things. They got a lot of things. So it's possible that no matter what he has in his background, nothing will stop him from at least running for president. And he has a very good chance of being the Republican pick, right? Which means that the Republicans will be putting all their support behind him. In Florida, is a hard ass state already. Like, it is very difficult to beat conservatives in Florida because we know what the state represents. We understand the makeup. We know, you know, it's tough there. So DeSantis, he is more than likely going to run, and he could very well be the Republican nominee who is some, and then at that point, because I don't think Trump, I think Trump's time, he's in his swan song. It's almost over. And then he could win, right? DeSantis could win if we're not on top of it. Mm-hmm. Now, he has banned African-American AP studies from the high schools. Now, this is important, right? Because he's the one who started the whole critical race theory, banning it from schools. He has been working really hard to do something that is critically important, and that is undermining education about history as it relates to African Americans or Africans in America. He has been trying to undermine it and really try to reverse everything that people fought to get in the curriculum so that not just Black folks could learn this stuff, but so white students would also be educated. The problem that they have, those white folks who are, many of them or the leaders of this, they're in what is considered to be the top 1%, 2%, right? Their issue, their problem is that more white people, and especially younger white people, are becoming more and more aware every single day of the oppression and the racism and the suffering of African Americans and other people of color. They are becoming more aware. So when you have a situation like Kellyanne Conway during the time while Donald Trump was, I don't know if he was running for president again, or yeah, probably was during the presidential election. She was, her daughter, Kellyanne Conway's daughter, that Kellyanne Conway, for anybody that doesn't know, at one point she was the White House spokesperson, or the, you know, she was at the podium. I guess she was, I don't know if she was public relations, but I know she was the spokesperson. So she was at the podium. I forget, she might've been a press secretary. She might've been. So anyway, when Kellyanne Conway, you know, she was obviously supporting him in his reelection bid, and her daughter was on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and everywhere else telling all their business, talking about Donald Trump, saying her mother was a hypocrite, saying that Donald Trump was dangerous. She was really taking the social media to stop her mother, or at least to expose her mother's support for a bigot and a racist, right? Mm-hmm. So this went on with a number of the young people, the kids and the families of a bunch of folks. For instance, give you another example, Julius Jones, right? Julius Jones, we fought like hell, along with so many leaders, people who were out there every day fighting to get Julius Jones off death row right before, like seconds, minutes, right before he was scheduled to actually go be executed for a crime we know he did not commit. The governor was receiving calls and pushback from everybody. Anybody you could think of was calling the governor, from white folks, Black folks, brown folks, any and everybody, people with power, people with position, people with money, everything. So after a while, people started tweeting at, writing, and calling, the governor's daughter, mm-hmm. telling her, hey, you know, stop your father, make your father sign what he needs to sign to stop the execution. The daughter was responsive and said, I have already expressed my views that Julius Jones should live, right? Now, she wasn't derogatory. Kellyanne Conway's daughter was off the chain. She was going live in the house with her mother, like showing her mother and being like, you're a hypocrite, mom. Exactly. But, you know, the governor's daughter for Julius Jones, his position, you know, his daughter's position wasn't that it was disrespectful to him in any way, but she basically let it be known that she sides with the people. She supports our perspective in terms of stopping the execution against this man. This is important for what is happening with DeSantis, because what's happening with them is that as they sit down, the 1%ers, the 2%ers, and they have conversations about their homes, whereas they grew grew up in environments where the granddaddy was a racist, the daddy was a racist, and they have learned all about racism and are upholding it themselves, and damn it, they are racist too. What is happening now is as we integrate into society, because we know that one of the major problems that these one percenters and otherwise of white folks have is how they are becoming a minority in our society, because there are more brown, the country is browning, if you will. The country is continuing to brown, especially the Latino population is growing exponentially, right? And so that is one of the big pushbacks that we have, is trying to figure out how with all this integration, people living together, people moving together, how do they stop their own from becoming sensitive to the issues and that we're concerned about? And how do they stop them from actually joining us in our movements the way we have seen white folks being all up in the marches and the protests and giving money? The best thing that you can do to make a people ignorant is to stop educating them on history and then allowing them to be exposed to current, what is happening in the current state. And so he's not just doing this because he woke up one day and was like, I just want to be mean. No, it's a part of a plan to dismantle what we have worked hard to build and to ensure that our education, the education about our stories and the truth about Black people and what and more importantly, the truth about what America has done and continues to do to us, that they unravel it at every single angle. And education is a really important place to start it. So that's what they're doing. And that's dangerous.
Isn't, like you said, it's intentional. And it's because what you see with these children, right? What you see with the white children, and they're coming, they're speaking out against injustice because they're learning. They're actually doing history. It's in the books. They're surrounded like it's a melting pot. It's Black people, they're brown people in school. They're giving their history and they're learning it in school. So when their children are coming home and saying, Mom and Dad, did you know this happened? And why haven't we done more? What have you done? And when all this was happening, what were you doing? Right? They don't want to deal with that, the white guilt, right? So they want to eliminate white guilt. They want to eliminate education and actual, you know, camaraderie with having white allies, their children turning into white allies, their children looking to overturn and overrun white supremacy and shut down the systems of white supremacy. When you look into these streets, it's a lot of these young white kids out there advocating for civil rights. So they don't want that. They're trying to study like, nah, we can't keep having our kids, you know, understanding how racist America was and what they've done throughout the years to Black and brown people. So we want to stop this education. So DeSantis and everybody along that mind state is very, very strategic. Like they have think tanks that are explaining to them that in the next 10 to 20 years, what this world will look like and how the education system is going to impact on what white people are doing and how, you know, they're taking away from the white supremacist soldiers, so to say, because they can't keep feeding them the tea and keep giving them the Kool-Aid. They're not sipping the Kool-Aid no more because they're being educated. So the best way to do it is to take it out the education system and make them have to get it somewhere else, the same way they did with slaves for years. They didn't want to educate slaves at all because they know to educate them is to empower them.
Well, they tell us that we need to say enslaved people.
Enslaved slaves.
But, you know, you're right. That's all I can say is we know. We just need to make sure everybody else knows. And I think the only other point is this is why elections matter and why we have to be paying attention from local to federal, every single election, super local. It's important. I understand that there is a desire to say that's why we need to build our own institutions so we can educate our own people. But again, it's not just about educating our own. If we're going to live in a society with others, we want them to be educated as well. If you have a system where, yes, all these governors, all of these people, we don't think not one of them is radical enough and that they have a strong enough conviction for justice, right? We don't see that, right? We know that it's not there. But we do know that there are degrees to which things can get much worse. And DeSantis is a very dangerous individual. So when we're sitting around talking about, well, we need to make money so we can build our institutions, that's fine. But we also, as leaders, have to know that the masses of our people are not where you are. You're building something, but you're not even there yet. Because it's nothing that you have at this point that is creating or that is educating a mass.
It's like the real structure of the system.
Right.
Most people that are creating finances are just educating you on finances. So the reality of the situation is y'all creating shit to build more money. And that shit is cool. But nobody has been successful or even intentional about building a system that combats this system.
Right. So that's something until we are, and I'm not saying that it's not stages, but while you're working on stages, you have to realize that another part of the stages is harm reduction. We need harm reduction, and not voting in these elections is really, really dangerous because
it's actually introducing harm.
Very much so.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training, and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
That's how we own it.
So here's a little bit of health information, especially for women who are out there that heard yesterday. I watched it on the news. Actually, I was sitting in the doctor's office waiting for my ultrasound and mammogram appointment, in which I received my report, and they did not find any breast cancer anywhere from under my arm, which is
lymph nodes.
Thank you. Lymph nodes. Thanks. To my breast. And, you know, by the way, ladies, I was going to talk about something else, but this is important. When you are having issues, if you feel a bump, a pain or whatever, and I know insurances, some cover different things. Me personally, I have to pay out of pocket for the ultrasound portion of my mammogram because my insurance covers mammogram, but it does not cover me getting an ultrasound unless there is something seriously wrong. However, the ultrasound is important because the mammograms at times, different things can be hidden. Cancer can hide in different spaces. So the ultrasound is an extra reassurance of what the mammogram has already said. So my first mammogram report said that it did not detect cancer. It was negative. Maybe a little bit of cyst here and there, but that's something that we as women, and especially Black women, that we have and we do have to monitor and manage. But then the ultrasound confirmed it by going back over all the areas. And so if you're listening, even if you're a man and you got a woman at home and you don't know, ask her, when's the last time you had a mammogram? And do you think about, you know, getting ultrasounds as well? It's important that we check our breasts because early detection is the best detection and it is the best solution for care and how, if you do catch something, your life can be longer based upon getting the treatment that you need. So I have a clean bill of health with that area. And every month, I'm doing something for the next few months just to make sure all the different things on my body is together. Anyway, I saw that New York is going to be a state that gives out abortion pills. Now, you know, we believe in the right to choose. Everybody doesn't need kids. Some people have mistakes, issues, all kinds of things, rapes, lots of things happen. And we are not here to judge anybody for the decisions that they make. There's two different types of abortion pills. So actually, I was in the doctor's office watching in the news, and there was a nurse there, the head nurse of one of the departments actually was just sitting talking with me. And she began to explain these two different, and this, by the way, is my thought of the day. The thought of the day today is about being super educated. Just like I just told you all about the mammogram and then an ultrasound being the follow-up. And by the way, your doctor, if your doctor feels like you need it, they can put an order in where it will be covered under your insurance if they really feel like you need it, especially for people who have had any type of augmentation, breast augmentation, you need to make sure that it's that you're going the extra mile. So this is about education, super important. So when the news showed that they're giving out abortion pills in New York for free, you can go pick them up. She said to me, I said, wow. I said, oh, is this hospital also going to be a part of that program? She said, of course, right? It's a city hospital, actually. And so she began to explain that there's a difference. Education. There is a Plan B pill, which is for, oops, you know, hey, I don't know, last night things, it was, the pullout wasn't that good. The condom got stuck. I'm just not sure. I'm going to go get this pill within a certain amount of hours. And the purpose of that pill is to put a coating around the cervix and the uterus area where it won't stick with the egg, right? So it blocks it so that the egg won't be penetrated and you can't get pregnant. And that's an early prevention thing that has to happen within whatever the time is they tell you on the Plan B pill. The abortion, there's another pill. This is a pill that when you take it, it actually for some time, it could be up to, again, you got to read the information on the package, because it can help you basically have an abortion later on. It's not the early part that stops you from getting pregnant at all. This is one that once you are pregnant, it can help to expire the pregnancy, or it will expire the pregnancy. And most times the plan is that you take it and then you have contractions, you know, you feel it and eventually the fetus comes out, right? It will come out. The problem with that is that some people need to have themselves checked so that they, in case they need something called a DNC. A DNC is where they go inside and they scrape out anything that may be left so that you don't have infections and things developing in your body from a foreign object or a foreign thing being there, a foreign cell being in your system. So the problem, the reason why education is so important, because we can sit here and act like, oh, it's just the women that don't take care of themselves, drug addicts and street people, and you know, that the class of people that we like to look at a certain type of way. But the truth is that business women get busy. They don't want to go back to the doctor. They don't take care of themselves properly. Mothers with two kids, people who are struggling, stressing, traveling, all kinds of people. There is no specific type for people who do not take care of themselves properly and do follow-up. So if you take that abortion pill and just go about your business and don't take care of your body, it can actually be very harmful. It is not to say don't use it, don't get it. I support anybody who needs it. I'm saying make sure that you're educated on the full process so you can take care of yourself and know that you're not creating even more problems than the original one, which was being pregnant and having an unwanted pregnancy. So please get educated, people.
My thought, education.
Thought of the day today is that we can't just be doing stuff to do it. We've got to be smart about it. And it's just time. Like, we know it's enough information out there. The mere fact that she told me this information, and they didn't say it on the news, by the way. They didn't say it on the news. I'm sure they assume that when you get it, wherever you pick it up from, I'm sure there's a pamphlet and a thing. And they're going to say, but sometimes it ain't you hear it six times from different places. So when she said it to me, I felt like it was important for me to say it to others.
Good job. Good job, Tamika. Educate the people.
Education.
Educate the people.
Educate people on what you're wearing today so we can get our guest on.
Oh, well, so listen, man. My guy, Ray, Rough Riders, he's always supported me, man. Chasing Chicken, he got Jadakiss. They've been doing anything for years, man. So shout out to them. And you see my hat, fuck off respectfully. I brought this from a Black-owned sneaker store in Brooklyn. So, you know, I'm still doing my part pushing.
Nothing wrong with that. Chicken,
you know what I'm saying?
Nothing wrong with that. I support it 100%. Let's bring our guest on.
Let's go.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
So today we have a friend back.
We got a friend in the building today.
The last few guests we've had, they became guests, friends after the show, because we didn't really know them beforehand. But this one is our actual friend and dear sister. You know, she is my buddy, my cut buddy. Don't leave us anywhere together, because we cuts up real bad everywhere we go. And that's because, you know, we appreciate sisterhood. We appreciate getting to enjoy one another and learning together. You know, we educate one another. We pray for one another. We talk about our children. We spend a lot of time trying to break away from the norms of what, like, the society is constantly pulling and pulling and pulling. and we're both givers. So we found a lot of ways to invest in one another. And I'm really, really proud of watching Lucinda's growth. I remember the other day I heard you talking to somebody saying you were working on your vision board. And I think about this young lady, Lucinda Cross, and where she started with people doing vision boards to having an organization that is doing serious, like critical reentry work, working with women and others, not just in America, but around the world. I have seen her, I've been looking on social media. I'm like, okay, that's a check. You got booked all the way in God knows where. And so I want to introduce Lucinda Cross, which most of y'all, if you don't know Lucinda, you should know her. She's the founder of Activate Your Life, an organization dedicated to supporting women's reentry and reducing recidivism. And recidivism in this conversation is super important. You'll hear more about Lucinda's story and why she's not just a perfect guest for the show today, but why she is dedicated and committed to the work that she's doing. So welcome, Lucinda Cross, my sister.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
How you feeling? What's going on with you, man?
I'm good. I'm good, Brother Mice. I'm good. I'm good. The general. What's up?
Looking good. You always inspiring. You know, I go to get motivation. Like she said, I was talking about my vision board. And the first time I ever heard about a vision board was at an event that she was doing. And I see you doing a vision board and I was like, okay. And then it's something that stuck with me. And it's been very well. Like I'm one of those people that got to see things. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm also one of those people that don't like to plan. So I'm like in between, like I'm very creative. I like to just get to things and I don't like to plan. So that's one of my things, a pet peeve of mine that for 2023, that I said, I really want to get over. I want to start planning things out. I want to start writing things down. I want to start visually seeing and putting things in order. So that was one of the things I did. And you was a big inspiration for that. So I want to say thank you.
Yeah, I pat myself on the back to get a man involved. That's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, so tell us about Activate Your Life. You know, because we're gonna go into you, but I want to hear about Activate because it's so deep. You got so many layers of dopeness, you know. So we're gonna take a little time with this.
Well, listen, I'm gonna take all the flowers right now. Hold on.
That's right.
I hear my speaking. But what I will say, because this to me, this is important, right? This is part of reducing recidivism. And so for me, with the organization Activate Your Life, it started from my own personal journey of being incarcerated, at-risk youth, just out there and trying to find a quick hustle. No one told me how to plan. No one told me how to set goals. Where I came from in the Bronx, BX in the building, where I came from, there was no one coming to the community to save you or to say, hey, I've made it and this is what you could possibly become. So either you idolize those who were on the street or you became a part of the street, for me, in my experience. And so with Activate Your Life, what happens after you've gone through a traumatic situation? What happens after you've been incarcerated or had some type of criminal encounter? What happens? Where's the plan? Where's the process? Because you end up going back to sometimes the same communities, to the same people who's doing a lot of the same things, and there's no growth. And so with Activate Your Life, our goals is, we're on the four pillars: education, empowerment, entrepreneurship, and economics. And so we focus on those four pillars to say, listen, we can help you with a plan. And that leads back to vision boarding. But let's create a plan for success. What does this look like? What do you use these resources that you run into? So in short, not only do we bridge the gap between partnerships that we create almost every week with other reentry organizations and halfway houses, but just really stepping out into the community to say, listen, without my lashes and all of this other stuff, I was here. And I was able to create a plan and let me show you how to do this. And we have mentors and mentees that link up to support one another. So I love the organization. I love what I do. And it's more of the reason why I wake up every day when I feel like saying, not today. No, go walk into that halfway house and let those ladies know they could do it.
How long have you been in existence? How long has Activate been in existence?
So I've been doing the work with this since 2010, officially and under the nonprofit, because my mentor said, you gotta do something. Let me turn this into a professional business. I was 2015.
So the main programming is going into working with women who are at risk, or you just work with women. Because I see women, which, by the way, what I was getting ready to say, or what I am going to say to prove a point about the level of ignorance that a lot of people have, is that these women that I see, they look good as hell, okay, that go to your events. And they spending a little bit of cheese to get in, right? So it's not like you just doing stuff for free all over. You have women who want to pay you, because I've heard them like investing in you so that you could come and work with them. And the reason why I talk about the ignorance is because one would think that that group is a group of people who's like busted and broke down, and they do not look that way at all.
Yeah, no. And that's the for-profit side, right? That leads to being a mentor for the nonprofit side. But those women that show up at these events that we call it We Nation, those women that show up, we want to combine an executive and a woman who's recent. Most of the women we work with are already released, right? They've been released for several years. Some of them are working on their second, third master's, right? It's not a game out here. They're highly educated. They are supporting their families.
But you're talking about the women who have been released are working on their second and third master's.
Yes.
My God.
There's an organization called College and Community Fellowship, and they support and push these women into getting their degrees and getting educated. I mean, it's phenomenal. But what happens when you come out and you don't know where to go? Everyone is telling you just get a job. So bridging the gap with these resources lets you know, okay, here we can get some money. My goal, my job is to sit at the table with Delta Airlines, to sit at the table with Capital mm-hmm. One. We need funding to make sure that these women have what they need to succeed and thrive economically. And are you hiring them? You know, are you hiring them? Not just, you know, making it a check on the box of this is what you want to do. Are you really doing the work? And if so, let's see the numbers. What does that look like?
When I think about, I hear that Black women are the biggest growing population in prisons right now, right? So I want to know, just from a standpoint of professionalism, what are the biggest challenges that Black women are having that you find that are taking them to jail? And then what are the challenges that you have when they re-enter society?
Lack of funding, mm-hmm. finance, and lack of support, family support. A lot of times these women, a big part of it, a big percentage of it is not just, it's not having that family support. There is no support system. They are the whole support system, either for their families or for their children. And then when they come home, they still have to fall back into place and pick up those pieces, still trying to put their own life together. It's extremely tough. And then not to have the financial resources, not everyone who comes home is running to the social service department. They don't want to do that. There's a level of pride as well. And I love that. I admire that. But the main thing is just not having those resources, and then they end up falling. This is why reducing recidivism is important. They end up falling in some of those same old patterns. Let me just do this to get here. Let me just do this to level up and get myself on a playing field. So it's pretty.
Let's unpack that because more specifically, like, what is it exactly that they're getting charged with that's making them the fastest growing population? And then what are we doing for our men that is slowing down the amount of Black men going in? So is it that there is programming more so targeted towards trying to keep Black men out of prison, and Black women are not included in that just because people don't see us as being at risk as much? Like, what would you say the issues are?
Oof. All right, I love this. I love these questions. Who, you know, but these women are on these men, on these cases as well. And a lot of times they're taking the charge to lessen the time for their partner. So listen, I can't take this charge, babe. You know, can you? And so a lot of times the weight is also put on them a lot of times with these cases, or they're connected in the case. Cause if he's driving in the car, you was driving with him in the car. He's got the minks, you got the minks. He got the cars, you got the cars. So the charges is big on drugs, big on the scamming right now, identity theft, huge. Right. So outside of just drugs, it's the identity theft. And whether it's trafficking or whether it's possession, that's the main, you know, what I'm seeing now in the statistics. The other side of it is these women are taking these charges. They have no problem with saying, all right, I'll do this 1 to 3 so he doesn't get this, because it's harder. The laws are a lot harder on the men. So I'll do this 1 to 3 for you, so you don't have to do this 7 to 10. Somebody has to be home for our child.
Damn.
And most of the times there is no plan in place to say, listen, this is what we're doing. Even if she wasn't involved, a lot of times the women may not be involved, but because they're connected, and there goes the conspiracy. The system is tricky. They leave no wiggle room. They leave no room to look at the true case in the matter. And it's sad. It's sad, but we're pushing forward. We're pushing forward. We have to look at these policies. We have to look at these laws. We have to look at why are we constantly sending these men back. It's like once you touch down one time with the criminal justice system, their goal is to keep your name rotating. Mm-hmm. And it's as if you can never get free from that number and become the name that you are for both sides, men and women.
So when I listen to this, right, I remember I was talking to Remy, my sister, the rapper, the entrepreneur, Remy Ma from the Bronx. And we was talking about prison, and she was just talking about how the visiting floors in the prison is nobody coming to visit these women. There's no men on these visiting floors. When she used to be down there, it's probably 2 or 3 visits. And I'm listening to you, and I know also well that a lot of these women are taking these charges. A lot of men got 3 strikes, and they're like, yo, look, you're going to get 4 or 5 years. They're going to give me 25 and 30. And women are holding their men down. So what happens? So are these men, when they come back in society, are men taking care of these women? Or they do you see that happening? Are structures, I mean, are not even just from the institutional, so just knowing you being a woman who was formerly incarcerated and having friends who have are men playing their roles? Like when the women get back to society, are they holding them down? Like, are they trying to rebuild them? Because there's a lot of women that when men get home, they got women that's, yo, I got a place for you to live. Is that happening? Because I want us to do better. It's a lot of, because I'm constant and I'm consistent on calling out men, because I feel like we've fallen from a level of just grace, a level of strength, like a level of just responsibility. I don't see it. And I'm saying us, I don't just say me, because I'm even myself, I got to call out certain shit because society has normalized bullshit for us. So mm-hmm. I'm asking you so that it ain't just coming from me. I want to hear what you have to say. So men can be listening and stopping, oh, y'all just mad. And women, no, you got to listen to the reality of what's going on. When people are dealing with situations and women are telling you, this is our reality, this is what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You got to listen to it so that you can do better.
So not to give a BS pass, right, to what you was just saying, the mindset, where's the reform? So yes, he may come home and she's got the house and she's been holding it down, but where's the reform for him mentally? Mm-hmm. And where is the reform for her without having the male at home? How can we expect, now we're two different people. One is, both are institutionalized. Just because one was in prison and one was at home taking care of the family or taking care of herself, both are institutionalized. There's no reform. There's no support. There's no therapy. There's no conversation. On the female side or the woman's side, she has expectations most likely won't be met. Mm-hmm. Because he also is trying, he has expectations and a vision. And it's just like, listen, I'm just trying to get back in the groove. You two on me. You what's going on? And I can only speak as a woman's side, just hearing what men are saying, but they're both learning each other because you're two different people now. Once the home is broken, this is my point of view, my experience and observation, it's broken. We have to start from ground zero. We can't start, well, I was there for you holding you down for 8 years. Okay, but my 8 years, you know how much stuff and stress and stuff that I gotta hide from you, that's it, that I'm sleeping with at night, and then you want me to wake up and still be in a great mood and ask you, how was your day and did you get the kids to school? It doesn't work like that, and vice versa. She's on the same level. She's like, you think you it's just about you looking cute and everybody giving you a bag to get yourself together. We've been struggling here. You know how many times I had to show up, order to show cause. So both are damaged because the home has been broken for whatever reason. and there is no real put back together pattern, right? Because mom has been, for the men, for the women who is inside, and Remy Ma is correct, inside you don't see, grandma's bringing the babies, right? So, but where's grandpa? Okay, grandpa is not in the home at all. And then if you look the generation before that, so it's men missing out of the home, structure missing out of the home. There's no foundation to start with, right? We just was having fun. Then the foundation broke because somebody got incarcerated. And now we're coming back into brokenness at the same time. So it's hard to mend that together. Listen, I've been there on both sides, doing the visits to, I got to go see my boyfriend, to then it was on me. You know, shipping out the packages. And then I'm like, wait, nobody's sending me packages. Everybody in the hood was enjoying the sneakers and everything. Nobody sent me a magazine. So it builds a level of bitterness and anger and frustration that is never healed. It's a healing issue. I don't think it's something that we can put on men or women. There's no healing. There was no healing from the start. So we can't expect it to be healing in the process of us trying to grow and get back into, let me be a woman and not my number. Let me be a man and not what society's calling me as the statistic, who's just, they just waiting to lock me up again.
So you said we were just having fun and then it all blew up, right? Life just changed. So talk about that for you, right? And your story of how you ended up incarcerated. Because when I've heard the story before, sounds like it was all just a good time and then it just wasn't. You know, so what's that transition like from it being a good time to it being some serious, serious stuff? And what was life like being incarcerated at what age were you?
18, 19. The fun, for me, it started out of a need. Right. And you hear that often. I hear it often in the street. Listen, I need to do this. You know, my mother doesn't have it. So for me, it started as a need. My mother was a single mother. I had three younger brothers. I'm the oldest. I didn't want to put the financial pressure on her. We were in, they call it NYCHA. We called it the projects. So I'm in the project. So it's like, listen, and now I'm in this school that I don't fit in at. And I'm like, I need to get some money. These girls got Amex cards. They drive in. Here I am walking from the Bronx to catch a bus to walk again to New Rochelle to go to this Iona private school. I'm playing myself and I'm broke and I'm hungry and everybody's looking good but me. I have to find a way. And of course, when you set yourself and the intention, same thing with goals, you set your intentions and I need to get some money. I need to get this money. Of course, there's going to be some other opportunities that come your way to say, oh, you want to get some money? Let's wave some carrots in front of her. And I decided to take plan B instead of plan A. And plan B led me to traveling. And yes, did I enjoy it? At first, it was a need. I was like, I'm going to travel. Go get the suitcase, drop the suitcase off. Go pick up another suitcase, drop it off. And so from me going from Thailand to Africa to Japan to Singapore, all these places, picking up suitcases and dropping them off. When people joke now like, oh, secure the bag workshop. No, Lucy, secure the bag. It was really go get the Samsonites, put them on the plane and just sit there and act like you modeling and do what you have to do. It became now an addiction because the money was coming fast. I was traveling at the same time. And yeah, I thought it was a joke. I'm like, they stopped me numerous times, never caught me. This is the life. I'm going back to my hood. Now I'm a hood celebrity. So now I'm not just one of y'all. Now I'm like, oh yeah, she's getting us the sneakers. She's doing this. She's doing that. You know, we get motorcycles. Like now I'm like hood celebrity. It's a high and it's a naive high. I don't glorify it because it's nothing to glorify. But my message, even in sharing this with you all, even for the young girls who are watching or the women who are watching, that stuff dies down. When you're inside, you're no longer this person with the minks and the chains and the cars and supporting the community. None of that matters when you got to put that orange suit on. And that was my wake up call after making all of this money. So people say, how much money you make? I don't even want to talk about that. Do you want to know how many times I almost lost my mind? My first encounter inside of being incarcerated, and I was part of a case that I didn't even know existed. I just was doing my thing, getting my suitcases, dropping the dope off, picking it up, dropping the dope off, and picking my money up from Chicago, coming back to New York, and just having a blast. Not like what you see, how they see on TV. Like, come on, y'all, come in here. I'll be going crazy. Yeah, it was a big deal.
You was a part of a case you didn't even know was happening.
Oh, I was a part of. And a lot of times we think that it's just us. My name was my whole case, the whole case, 28. It started out with 65 co-defendants down to 28, all females. None of the men got incarcerated, all females. All was a telephone conspiracy. All they heard was my name on a telephone line. They never caught me. They've seen me, they couldn't catch me. They, and not that I was running, they tried to get my suitcases. And of course I'm 18, like, what y'all doing? Like, come on, hurry up. Y'all messing up my pina colada. It's like, I'm ready to get into Mexico. Very naive and arrogant. They never caught me. This was a telephone conspiracy, starting all the way from Thailand to Lagos, Nigeria, Chicago to New York. It was two of us from New York. That was the only people that was on the case, two Americans and the youngest Americans on the case. At the tail end.
And how many? How much?
I just wanted to ask one more. What state were you in when you served time?
So I went from New York. The case was in Chicago, and then I served my time in Bryan, Texas.
You was in the feds.
Feds, yeah.
So, and how much time did you serve?
4.5.
4.5 years. Wow, that's crazy. All women? I never heard of an all woman.
All women. Because the women on the case, what did they do? They protected the men.
Wow.
They protected the men. So it was all 28 of us co-defendants on the case, and they just took it. But what my point is, what I was saying is, even being extradited from New York to Chicago, as big as the case was at that time, my first 9 months was inside a SAG, because they were like, we don't know this. There's like 20, there's some 20, 30 co-defendants upstairs. She's the only American and the youngest. Do we send her upstairs? I had to fight to even get into general population. 9 months by myself in the cell. Why would they even do that to an 18, 19 year old?
Yeah, that's I tell people.
Why would they even do that?
I tell people solitary confinement is a mental breakdown. It's mental warfare. It definitely breaks down your mindset. Anytime you do over 30 days in solitary confinement, you have mental health issues. You instantly have it. I tell people that all the time. I experience seclusion and issues, but like, I need to be by myself. I can't be around people all the time. I deal with that. And it comes from just being in the box for what? I did like 90 days in the box. And after the 30 days, it was too much. So I know a lot of my friends who did 5 and 6 years and 10 years, and I watch the way that they are unable to even interact in society.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I did, I told you, I said, God, just keep my mind. There was a warden, her name was Miss Christmas, out in MCC Chicago. And she was the only one fighting to make sure that I got extra rec time. But she didn't know the other stuff that was happening from her team that they were taking advantage of. That's a whole nother show of what happens being a female in solitary confinement, where you're taking advantage of, where the men in there were, they were like, listen, the male inmates in there, if it wasn't for some of those gang leaders at that time, not glorifying any of that, but sitting there ready to fight to say, listen, if you don't let her out, we flooding this whole place. We're gonna end up, if you don't let her out and get a shower, what are you doing over there by her cell? It was horrible. So I told him, it's all fun and games. When you out here tossing it up, the Gucci, Louis, that's all nice. I ain't have none of that mattered. None of that mattered when I'm being taken advantage of. Back then you had to buy stamps. When you got it, they taking advantage of you so you could make a phone call to your mother or get a stamp to mail a letter. Horrible.
Speaking of mental health, Lucinda, how do you describe your mental health state from that, all those years ago? How many years has it been now?
Oh man.
We old, gone. We old.
22. Wow. Is it 22, 21 years?
21 years later.
Yeah, because that was 2000 is when it was done.
2000. So what would you say your mental health state is today? Do you still have, because you're so busy and you're engaged in so much that is powerful. So I'm imagining that part of that is helps you with your mental health in general, because I know I feel the same way. All the stress we go through, all the things we do, every battle that we get in, it helps me to be encouraged that, you know what, at least we're still fighting. At least there's a mother that is grateful for our support. And that in and of itself is very therapeutic. So I'm sure you have that, but are they, because I know I have watched both Jamila T. Davis, our good friend and sister, and my son and my brother, Derek, and others. I have watched them and I can see clear signs of former incarceration because of just different behavioral things that they do, especially the seclusion stuff with my son. So do you feel like you experienced something that you know comes from that time?
That's funny. I want to ask you, do you see that with me? Do you see?
No, no. But I don't I don't travel with you and spend as much time
with you
as I do with those folks. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So my mother, God bless her soul, she, before even going in, this is the reason why I would say the mindset shift for me and being mentally strong, besides having therapy, right? But she was a double psychology major, like two masters in psychology. I was helping her write all her papers. I was her guinea pig for every mental project. So I was like her small little mental case. And so for me, I used all of that, all of that while I was inside in the hole, reading, putting myself in a position, thinking beyond my limits. And so you, and prayer worked, but it helped me to release it. My whole prayer was, God, just keep my mind. This is so horrible. I don't even want to remember what's going on, not to blank it out, but I'll unpack it later. But with my mother's teaching and reading and her doing certain exercises with me, even including, we call the creative visualization, but including like these vision board pieces, that was key to keeping my mind right. And also the meditation is powerful. I went from studying yoga to Ifa, African religion, to Muslim. I just dived myself into so many things that I wanted to see. There's no way you're going to take my mind if I build it, right? If I build it and I build on it and I create the spiritual thing, I can, this, it's a muscle and it's extremely strong. I honestly got weak mentally when I got home, but inside, powerful, powerful, only because of my mother's teaching before even arriving there, before even knowing. I mean, starting from 8 years old, being constantly taught how to think, how to handle your fears, how to handle your emotions. She didn't have a breakdown. Wait, where's your emotions? That's energy and motion. Get yourself together. Let's understand where this is coming from. Some things you keep, some things you release. She was very, very strict on how we carried ourselves and character. Her whole thing was character, not clout, character. Build your character, build your mindset, and it'll never be broken. And she didn't lie. She didn't lie. Cause she used to watch me when I came up. You good? You okay? You having nightmares? Ma, I'm good. Can you make me a sandwich? You know, but it was, that's the truth. I'm not trying to be a superhero here, but most people don't have that. They don't have you go straight from the streets to whatever, straight into incarceration, and you come back out. Where's the training mentally? Prison teaches you to be to survive. My mother taught me how to mentally thrive before even getting there, without even knowing her daughter, her only daughter, would be in prison.
Well, I, like I say, I'm always inspired by you and just listening to you being and having that same, you know, experience, but just not having someone who was adept in the knowledge like your mother was. So, you know, you were blessed with that type of tool and someone who can hone the energy and direct it and redirect you and give you all those things you need. So you're blessed in that, man. And that's why you're such a beacon of light, because you were given that same energy and you give that, radiate that same energy back. And everybody in your presence is lucky to have you. You are a jewel. You are a prize. We definitely appreciate you. You know, I just want you to leave us with something that, one of the most important things that you learned throughout life, like a real life lesson that you feel is like one of the most important things that if these young girls or boy, anybody is hearing it right now, that they can just take with them and along their journey to, you know, if they, even if they're not just forming, just what you learned about life.
Right. Because I mean, some people are incarcerated and they're free and they've never touched a prison. Right. They just mentally incarcerated and they can't break out of it. And back to that point, I still do deal with being an introvert. Like, I'm okay with being in my little corner. Too much interaction is too much. After I get off the stage, I want to get in my corner. So my thing that I want to leave people with is never let your past define you. I know we've heard that before, but no matter what pain you have gone through, use that pain, use your story, use your message, and impact somebody else's life that helps you to get over what you've gone through. So that's what I would leave them, is take what you went through, your pain, and push it out for someone else to help them get on purpose.
Well, damn it, you using yours. You are an international phenomenon. Right. And I know it's not easy for you to talk about that story. I can see, and it always is that way. Every time you have to speak about what you've been through, yes, you can see the discomfort, you know, because it is in your past, but it is such a powerful part of how you're able to touch so many women. Because number one,
and men, don't we just put, we like, she touch us too.
No, I'm not saying she's not, but as someone who's never been incarcerated, but I have struggles, right? When I look at you, I realize it could have been worse. It could have been worse, right? It could have been worse. And yet we're still, look at you, you're standing. So I know I can stand because I haven't even been through this. And it helps me when I'm looking at some of these mothers who lost their children to, you know, the system. And hey, mine is still here, right here, in fact, in this moment, right? And I know that it could be worse, but it's our responsibility to fight like hell to try to prevent more tragedy from occurring in our communities and more women from going down a path that once you go down that path, it doesn't just break you, it breaks our entire community. It breaks our entire society because yes, Black women are so needed. We're so powerful. We actually are the foundation of America 100%. And we know that. And so your strength is my strength. My strength belongs to someone else. And I just want to say that you know, just keep pushing forward. I know you will. Nothing will stop you. You know, I remember when we was getting $2,500 to speak somewhere, if that. And today you can add some zeros. But what we say, if it's, we'll still take it. Don't call us for 2,500 because we still will take it.
We'll take it.
But thank God, you know, God saw to it that that a seed was poured into us for the seeds that we have planted. And I'm proud of you. That's it. That's all I can say.
Same here. Listen, we are all in this together. Even as I sit here today, still fighting a generational curse in my own personal situation, right? And so still fighting to make sure my children are not mentally incarcerated or physically incarcerated. So it's still a challenge that goes beyond, you know, just even this conversation with these households in these communities and what these families really need, what they really need.
The struggle continues. Thank you to our dear sister and friend. Yes, we love you.
I got to get you on sit downs with the stand up so you can get deep into this conversation. So that's the next interview.
Count me in.
Activate your life. If you don't know Lucinda Cross, you better go follow her now.
You better get to know her.
That's right. A life changing sister. And to me, just watching your lives and watching everything you do, you become a friend to people who've never met you. So thanks for joining Street Politician, sis.
Thank you.
Peace.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
That's how we own it.
My sister, Lucinda Cross, man. She's a beacon, man. A light, just understanding what she's been through and just watching her always smiling, always educating, always, you know, enlightening and worried about others. Understanding that what she went through, you know, the impact that it had on her, and want to make sure that, you know, she can lighten the load of other women who are formerly incarcerated and re-entering society. So, excellent. Yeah.
She's amazing. You know, when she talks about, I know a lot about the story, and when she talks about the things that she went through, you know, she mentions very, like, glossed over, you know, why are you as an officer standing next to her cell, that the male incarcerated individuals saw that and was like, we're not going to allow you, whatever you think you're trying to do, you're not going to do it in here. That's the type of stuff that she suffered being in prison for 4.5 years.
I can imagine.
And she talks about how terrible transporting is from one jail to the next. I
hated being transported. Mm. Like I didn't want to go to doctor's visits. You know, two reasons that I didn't go to my grandmother's funeral. I didn't even want the traveling, from upstate and all, and what you go through in transit is like the worst shit ever. Like, nobody wants to do transit.
Yeah, she went from New York to Chicago to Texas. Wow. Crazy.
So, and that brings me to my I don't get it. As we talk about incarceration, this is an excellent segue. I was hearing over the last couple of days, 21 Savage on Clubhouse, which is the place I think is the worst fucking place in the world. Like, Clubhouse to me is a cesspool of individuals who actually have nothing going on but Clubhouse. They on there for 24 and 48 hours. And first of all, I don't understand why someone as successful as 21 Savage, who has money, who has fame, who has all this shit, is in the pig pen on Clubhouse. Like, and he's been there for, and I just keep trying to figure out, like, Savage, why do you keep being on Clubhouse with these dudes that don't got nowhere near as much to lose as you? They trying to get you out of your character. They talking crazy to you. They trying to make you clickbait. They trying to be get a news cycle with you. Why do you constantly entertain it? And once again, he's entertaining dudes, you know, that want to rile him up and talk about violence, this and that. And I'm just saying, I don't get why someone who has so much to lose and who's overcame so many obstacles is constantly on Clubhouse. Like, come on, Savage. Like, you one of the artists that I actually, a young dude that I see trying to grow. You know what I'm saying? And you let these people pull, you let these people, you trick you out of your spot. Because that's what's going to happen. And the shit he's talking about on there, which I'm not even going to talk about, but what he's talking about on there is actually allowing people to put trick him out of his spot. If, you know, I believe that the feds is all over Clubhouse. I believe that they just sit in Clubhouse rooms and they just taking notes and they following you and they tapping your phone, because these people on Clubhouse give you so much information about everybody. They talking about who's snitching, what they told, how they know, because they was there and they mans was there and they was on a phone call and they put the text message on there. It is the rest haven for the FBI. So what I don't get is why somebody like 21 Savage is constantly on there, and he's not talking about, you know, I don't understand if we're debating about issues about the public or this and that, but they talking about streets and who could shoot who and how many niggas put niggas down and how, and it just doesn't make sense to me. You know what I'm saying? And I want us to do better, man. First, I want the crime, you know, us to understand that we're not getting nothing by talking about how tough we are. All we doing is creating indictments on each other. We're going to kill you and my man's doing this, it's an indictment. It's an indictment waiting to happen. And they just waiting to tie you into some bullshit. So not just 21 Savage, anybody of good moral standards. I had to get off of Clubhouse because Tamika told me, if you don't get the fuck off of Clubhouse, nigga, you can't work with me or nothing. Any nigga that's just on Clubhouse talking to these nobody niggas, and I had to think about that shit. I was like, wow. And it was just one or two conversations, but I thought, you know, I'm gonna go there. It's a marketing, and I realized that shit ain't no marketing tool. It is a tool for the federalities. It's nothing but low bottom feeders and people with federalities, man. It's nothing there, man. So Savage, any other young king, please find you something else to do. Please, Clubhouse ain't it, man. I do not get what y'all doing on there. If you look at the niggas that's on there, it's like they give credence and they give relevance to niggas that should never have any level of relevance. None at all.
Clubhouse, if you use any form of social media for progress, for change, for information, I'm with it. You know, I see there are some Clubhouse conversations. Like, I see Lee Merritt. He pops in every now and then, and I know what he's on there doing. He's on there educating people about cases, right? I'm not saying that there shouldn't also be forums just to have a good time, just to laugh and talk stuff. But Clubhouse has become a cesspool of ignorance, and it really is a magnifying glass at the internet in general. A bunch of faceless people, for the most part. And here this young man is, 21 Savage, is somebody who we actually can see. That it's not just Clubhouse, though. The entire, I say this probably every show. And I'm, as a matter of fact, I've decided that's what I'm going to do. On every show, if I have some content, I'm going to talk about why the internet is so dangerous. Because that we need to be aware of how the internet is actually killing our communities. It's killing our people. It's killing, we are so addicted to it that we got to run to it with everything. And it can get us so stirred up that we end up talking so much that we talk too much. And that is, it's the drunkenness of media and wanting to express your opinion and your feelings to people who most of the time they don't matter. And even if they do matter, if they believe in you, they believe in you. And if they don't, they're not going to, because you sat up and argued with people back and forth all day and night. So that's how I feel about social media and Clubhouse. I went on there a few times. I probably will never go back. And I definitely, two things I don't want. I don't want to work with anybody that sit up on Clubhouse and argue with people all the time, because it's too much for my nerves. And number two, I definitely, as I am in my search of life for where my husband will come from, he can't be on Clubhouse. So if you're on Clubhouse, don't reach out. Don't come to my DMs, because I'm not interested.
Clubhouse is the outhouse.
It's the outhouse.
And with that said, we've come to the end of another amazing episode of Street Politicians. Shout out to our guests, the incomparable Lucinda Cross. You just got to look her up. You got to follow her. She motivates. She elevates. She does everything necessary. So shout out to her for being here. And shout out to us for being here and having the number one show. You know what I'm saying? Street Politicians, number one show. Go to Street Politicians Pod on Instagram. Leave a comment. DM us about any titles you want. Tell us how much you love us. You don't love us. Whatever. You know, we appreciate you, but thank you for all of our listeners, everybody who follows us. We definitely appreciate you, and keep spreading the word. Let people know about Street Politicians, number one podcast in the world. I'm not going to always be right. Tamika D. Mallory is not going to always be wrong, but we will both always, and I mean always, be authentic.
Peace. So,
listen to Street Politicians on the Black Effect Network on iHeartRadio.
And catch us every single Wednesday for the video version of Street Politicians on iWomen.tv.
That's how we own it!
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.